Kent Bazemore has returned to the Sacramento Kings, signing a one-year deal. And if you're familiar with my old Locked On Kings podcast, when Bazemore was here at the end of the 2020 season, you know how big of a fan I am of his. But where does he fit into this Kings rotation? And where does Terrence Davis fit into this Kings rotation? We'll try and answer those questions right here on Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports producer and reporter at ABC 10 News. And going back to the end of the 2019-2020 season, at the trade deadline, the Sacramento Kings made a couple of moves, including a trade with the Portland Trailblazers that brought both Anthony Tolliver, I believe, and Kent Bazemore to the Sacramento Kings. Now, this was the season that was abruptly stopped because of COVID, and then we had the restart with the bubble. And during this time, before the season was stopped, Kent Bazemore came into Sacramento and carved himself out a pretty significant role. Suddenly, he was a guy that was scoring at the highest rate that he had in years. He averaged 10.3 points per game with the Sacramento Kings over the 25 games that he played in Sacramento. That's an improvement from averaging just 8 points per game with the Portland Trailblazers. The season before that, he was averaging just shy of 9 points per game. It's the only time in the last 4 seasons that he has averaged double digits in scoring. And he came in, he did it off the bench with the Sacramento Kings, and he provided the Kings with a new kind of energy. He and Anthony Tolliver, it was reported, or we had heard the stories, that they came into Sacramento and basically expressed like, hey, we're in a playoff push here. We're here to help you guys accomplish that goal and get this team to the playoffs. Remember, this was, if you don't remember when the season shut down, when the COVID season shut down, it was right before the Kings and the New Orleans Pelicans game. This was Zion's rookie season, I believe. And the Pelicans and the Kings were both like right in that 8th seed picture, like both very much into it. We thought that this was going to be a massive deciding game potentially in the standings. This looked like, and the Kings were hot at this time. They were playing significantly better basketball than they were earlier on in the season. A lot of that had to do with kind of the new look to this group, and Kent Bazemore was a major part of that. And then, as we know, of course, when the bubble restarted, everything kind of fell apart for the Sacramento Kings, and unfortunately, the drought has continued. But when you think about what Kent Bazemore was to that Kings team, and you think about what Kent Bazemore can be for this Kings team, I think it's significantly different. Because at the time, that Kings team was in need of leadership, especially at his position. Kent Bazemore, some say he's a small forward, some say he's a shooting guard. He can play both positions, mainly played kind of backup small forward with the Sacramento Kings in his time here, but played a very important kind of veteran scoring rotational role. And that's a role that that team desperately needed at the time. But unfortunately, this current Kings team has more of that. Now, it's unfortunately for Bazemore. It's not an unfortunate thing at all for the Sacramento Kings when you think about it. Like, Kent Bazemore was very much needed to be that impactful guy. This team, I don't know if that version of Kent Bazemore is as needed. And look at what Kent Bazemore did in his last couple of seasons. The first one with the Golden State Warriors, had a pretty limited role with them, although did start a handful of games. Now, this was when the Warriors were really bad, right? This was the season that Steph Curry was out with injury the entire time. Klay Thompson was out with injury the entire time. Draymond Green basically quit. Very different from this world championship version of the Warriors that we saw last season. But on that team, he averaged about 7 points per game, played 67 games, started in 18. After that season, he went and joined LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers and was basically a non-factor, averaging just shy, or rather just over 3 points per game, only played 39 games for the Lakers last season, ended up actually starting in 14 of those as well. So those are two situations where, even though they weren't the best of situations for him and winning, he wasn't as needed on those rosters as he was, or didn't have as significant of a role on those rosters as he did with the Sacramento Kings at the time. So therefore, he was less impactful. And I look at and I think about, okay, Ken Bazemore is joining a Kings roster that is in need of a backup three, an established backup three. They don't really have that. That's a kind of an empty spot or a vacant spot in their rotation right now. But they already have perimeter, athletic, younger scorers that are going to be coming off the bench, whether it's going to be Kevin Huerter or Malik Monk. We're not sure about that. Terrence Davis, who we're definitely going to talk about in today's podcast. I do believe that Kent Bazemore still has a lot to give to a team, and I don't think in any possible way that this is a bad signing by Sacramento. Quite the opposite. If you remember, after that 2020 season, I was calling re-signing Kent Bazemore a significant priority, not necessarily a top priority, but a significant priority. I wanted the Kings to bring Kent Bazemore back because I thought he was going to be a significant rotational piece for that team going forward that they needed at that time. He provided a solid, consistent veteran presence. Ultimately, the Kings decided not to go in that direction. I think that was the offseason, if I'm not mistaken, after Vlade stepped down and initially the Bazemore trade was a Vlade move, then general manager Monty McNair comes in, the Kings decide to go in another direction. Well, now here we are a couple off seasons later, and general manager Monty McNair has gone out and grabbed Baze and brought him to Sacramento. Of course, Kent Bazemore spent a little bit of time with Mike Brown when he was that season that he was with the Golden State Warriors. So Brown is familiar with him as well. So I like Bazemore a lot. I think he's a good locker room guy. I think he is an absolutely great piece to have on your bench in a kind of break glass in case of emergencies type thing. And what he does add that I'm most excited about is he adds another element of competition to training camp. Like we've already talked about it, and I'm going to continue to talk about it. The competition level in training camp, I'm expecting to be through the roof because there are a lot of guys on this roster that can have an established, consistent role, but there are only so many spots, right? And we're going to really dive into this next segment when you start talking about Terrence Davis. But with Kent Bazemore specifically, you look at this Kings rotation, you look at, okay, where does he fit in? Well, it's in that backup three spot because the shooting guard spot is basically locked down, right? We know that it's going to be some combination of Huerter and Monk. Like, that's just the expectation. And I don't know who's starting and who's coming off the bench out of that group, but both of them I expect to play pretty significant roles, much more significant role than I think Kent Bazemore or Terrence Davis, for that matter, will play for this team. Unless, of course, they earn it. They prove me wrong. They prove all of us wrong. They prove maybe Mike Brown and the Kings wrong going into training camp. There are a lot of rotational spots, there are a lot of players who are capable of filling that rotational spot, but there might only be one or two spots available. We're really going to dive into that next segment because I think the battle between Kent Bazemore and Terrence Davis now is going to be really significant. But you could also throw Chimezie Metu in that conversation. You could throw maybe to some extent Matthew Dellavedova into that conversation, although he's a backup guard and he's the third point guard. So I don't think Matthew Dellavedova, I say this with all respect, I think it's a good thing if Matthew Dellavedova is not playing very often. Like he might get spot minutes and spot opportunity based off of maybe foul trouble for guards or if you need a little more defense or things like that. I don't look at Matthew Dellavedova's potential role to be as significant as what maybe Bazemore or Terrence Davis or Chimezie Metu could carve out for themselves. The competition level in training camp is going to be significant. And the addition of Kent Bazemore just adds to that. He's a smart player. He's a good locker room guy. He put out on social media his excitement to return to the Sacramento Kings. He's kind of a journeyman at this point in his career. He's been with the Warriors a couple of times, with the Lakers a couple of times, with the Atlanta Hawks. This is his second stint with the Sacramento Kings, with the Portland Trail Blazers. Like, he has been around the league. And while I don't expect him to be as significant of a game changer as maybe I wanted him to be for the Kings when they let him go after the 2020 season. But I do think he can add something positive. And I like him. I like Ken Bazemore a lot. He's an awesome guy. I think he's going to be a good locker room leader, or if nothing else, a good guy to help hold this roster accountable. And a big question mark with him, like a big question mark with this entire roster, is going to be, can he help with the team defensively while providing the offensive ability that we know he possesses? That's a question we could go down the entire list of this roster and ask, right? But coming up next, we're going to talk about Kent Bazemore, Terrence Davis. Where do they work into the rotation? How many rotational spots are really available, and who has an edge, if at all? We'll talk about that after I tell you about a great sponsor of the Locked On Kings podcast. Of course, I'm talking to you about Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar's Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of life's greatest joys, or at least one of them. And guess what? There's a new flavor, delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. Built has done it again. Their puffs are protein-infused marshmallows. Yeah, that's a real thing. It's delicious. And now there's cookie dough chunks and chocolate poured over it. God, it's so good. It's all the joys of eating cookie dough, eating all those unhealthy, delicious treats. But these ones are actually good for you. They're only 160 calories and have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. So run to built.com, snag a box for you and your family. It'll be the perfect treat. Or you can do what I do, which is buy one box for your wife or your family, and then buy one box for yourself. Make sure you hide the box for yourself, though, because if they find it, they will gobble it all without you even realizing it. If you get the puffs, if you get their Built granola bars, if you get just their classic Built bars, whatever you do on Built.com, make sure you use our promo code to save yourself some money. That's Locked15 to get 15% off. Again, on Built.com, Locked15 to get 15% off. I see a lot of people, when they're putting together a potential NBA rotation, they treat it more like an NFL depth chart than they do a legitimate NBA rotation. What I mean by that is they list basically players by position. So like, for example, point guard, De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell, and Matthew Dellavedova. Shooting guard, Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk, maybe Terrence Davis, if you want to put him in that spot. Small forward, Harrison Barnes, Kent Bazemore, yada, 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 yada. You get what I mean. Most NBA rotations, though, even a 10-man rotation that has the starter and bench player at each position, even that's pretty uncommon. I've seen 10-man rotations before, but typically most teams have an 8 to 9-man rotation. I think 9 is usually the sweet spot, right? You have your 5 starters, you have your 4 bench players, usually have one of your starters, most of the time multiple, but at least one of your starters on the floor at the same time. It's not like a hockey change, right? Where you have 5 guys play together and then you swap all 5 of them out for another 5 coming in. You can see that from time to time, and you can see 5 bench players on the floor together at one point. But typically you see a mixture, a balance of the two of them. A 9-man rotation is what you normally see in the NBA. So with that in mind, a 10-man rotation is very possible. And I think it's important to look at who is the essentially first string and second string player at each position for the Sacramento Kings, like point guard Fox and Mitchell, center DeMontis Sabonis and Davion, Rashawn Holmes. At the power forward position, Keegan Murray, Trey Lyles. Like that can be up for debate. But I'm looking at this as a more than likely 9-man rotation from Mike Brown. Consistently, we're talking out of a consistent established role. These guys, these 9 guys, unless they're hurt or for foul trouble or whatever, these 9 guys will more than likely be playing in every single game or the majority of games. This is the consistent 9-man rotation for the Sacramento Kings. And you look at what spots are already a lock, right? De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, DeMontis Sabonis, Davion Mitchell, Malik Monk, Rashawn Holmes. That's 8. And I'm not saying that, I personally think they're locks to be in the rotation. I don't see a way that any of those 8 players doesn't have a consistent role on this Kings team, unless, of course, they're traded. So that's 8 out of the 9 guys right there. Again, Fox, Huerter, Barnes, Murray, Sabonis, Mitchell, Monk, Holmes. 8 guys. So that makes the guys competing for a rotational spot: Trey Lyles, Kent Bazemore, Terrence Davis, Chimezie Metu, Alex Len, Maneke, Okpala, Keita, Ellis, Dellavedova. There's 10 guys right there. Now, I think the Kings will have to cut one of them, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, that's not true, because Keita, well, yes, they still will. I'm confused. I always get confused about how much they can take into training camp with them and how much they can leave training camp with. I believe one will have to be cut. If I'm not mistaken, one will have to be cut before they actually start their regular season games. But remember also, Nemias Cata and Keon Ellis are both on two-way contracts. So they're part of the team. They just have their limitations because of that contract. So I included them in the competition for the rotation because I do believe both could potentially carve out a role for themselves, although the chances of that right away are very, very low. So if you want to remove them from this conversation for the sake of what we're going to learn at training camp and to start next season, I'm totally okay with that. But who is that ninth man? Like, if you're looking at the eight that are locks, you have your 2 point guards, you have your two shooting guards, you have one small forward, you have one power forward, and you have two centers. So that ninth guy, you would want more than likely to be like a 3-4 hybrid. But the Kings don't necessarily have that, or the players that do have that don't necessarily have the NBA experience that you might want. Like, that's like a Mo Harkless type role that, of course, Mo Harkless is no longer on the Kings team. So who takes that role? As of right now, I think the front runner to be the ninth guy in the rotation is Trey Lyles, because he played, I thought, very well for the Sacramento Kings towards the end of last season after he was acquired from the Detroit Pistons in that Marvin Bagley trade. He started the remainder of last season. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. And if it is, it's going to be extremely temporary, because he's going to be keeping Keegan Murray's spot warm essentially as the starting four. But I have heard rumors, the possibilities of maybe Mike Brown will prefer to go with Trey Lyles, or maybe he prefers Trey Lyles at this point in time because Trey is more proven in the NBA and Keegan Murray's a rookie. Don't necessarily like that. I would rather the Kings just go with Keegan Murray right away, especially with one of the reasons why you drafted him is how good of a fit he was and how much of an NBA-ready prospect he is compared to some of the others in the league who are going to get starting opportunities, albeit on bad teams. Keegan Murray, I think, can make an immediate impact on a good team as a starter, as a rookie. So, regardless, I think Trey Lyles deserves playing time. I think Trey Lyles was really solid for the Kings. I think he could be a good scoring option off of the bench. He does help space the floor, so if you need to bring him in at times with Fox still on the floor or Sabonis still on the floor, he can work with the two of them. So as of right now, for me, the ninth man on this roster is Trey Lyles. Where do Kent Bazemore and Terrence Davis stand? Like, if I had to pick number 10, I think it's Terrence Davis, because he's younger and he's more of an established scorer. Like, when I look at Terrence Davis, I know he can get hot. I know he can. He's a streaky player, and we've seen Kent Bazemore also get going a couple times as well. But I think Terrence Davis is someone who theoretically fits in really well with what the Sacramento Kings are going to do on offense, period. He's a floor spacer, but he can also put the ball on the floor. I think he's a little more underrated than people give him credit for, attacking the basket and actually finishing around the rim. But he is a scorer. Maybe defense is the deciding factor here. Like, if Kent Bazemore comes into training camp and provides what we expect offensively, but really buys in on the defensive end and plays really well defensively, or if Terrence Davis, who showed flashes of being a decent defender, if Terrence Davis locks down defensively or locks in defensively off of the bench in training camp, maybe he plays with the second unit and guards Harrison Barnes and plays really well defensively. I don't see how Terrence Davis carves out a role for himself as a two, which I think most see as his most natural position. I think he's going to have to be an undersized three if he wants consistent playing time in Sacramento this year. Because again, Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, that spot is locked down, at least in my opinion. Is it out of the realm of possibility to believe that Terrence Davis can outperform one of those two guys? No, and I actually want Terrence Davis to believe going into training camp that he can and will outperform those guys and establish himself as a sixth man on this roster. I want him to believe that. But I think I'm a little disappointed if we go into next season and Malik Monk or Kevin Huerter have a disappointing training camp to the point that Terrence Davis won the spot over them. Like, the expectations for me, and I think the expectations for the Kings in acquiring them, is that those two guys are going to be a major part of what the Kings do. They make a lot of sense offensively for the Kings, and they're challenging them to be better defensively for the Kings, as they're challenging everybody. So The shooting guard spot, I think Terrence Davis should kind of put out of mind a little bit. I think it's the backup three, where his role is, how he's going to establish himself. And maybe he beats out Trey Lyles in the rotation to where he comes in and plays time at the three. And when that happens, either Keegan Murray's in the game or the Kings move Harrison Barnes to the four for some spot minutes while Terrence Davis is in the game. What about Chimezie Metu? Like, I feel bad because I'm a fan of Chimezie's, and Chimezie has done a good job over the last couple seasons to work himself from a two-way player to a solid player who did some good things for the Sacramento Kings last season, but I don't know where Chimezie Metu fits in at all with this rotation, unless they get hurt. Like, maybe Chimezie Metu could beat out Trey Lyles and get those minutes as that backup four. And we know he's capable of spacing the floor, although his three-point shooting percentage is not as high as you would want it to be. But I look at battles in training camp, right? The big ones are like Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter for starting two guard. I look at Trey Lyles and Chimezie Metu for backup four. I look at Kent Bazemore and Terrence Davis for backup three. I look at Alex Len and Nemias Keita for third string, essentially center. Maybe Alex Len is the one to get cut. I like Alex Len a lot, but I don't think any of us really look at Alex Len as part of the Sacramento Kings' long-term future, but he's an established NBA veteran and Nemias Keita is not. So there are a lot of things that I can't wait for about this training camp, like a lot of battles, and hopefully, I mean, I'm going to be able to, in theory, get some access to training camp to see some of this and get an idea with some of this. And of course, we'll have some of these questions answered during actual preseason. But I hope the Kings are nice enough to release some videos of these individual battles that we're talking about, because Mike Brown has a tough but really fun job of putting together this rotation. And with the addition of Kent Bazemore yesterday, it just further shows that the Kings have built a roster that is capable. I wanted the Kings to get rid of fringe talent this year, and in many ways they have done that. There is still definitely fringe talent on this roster, but this roster is significantly more talented top to bottom, and you can make an argument for a lot of these guys that they deserve consistent playing time on a good team, and that's significant. So what do you think about the Kent Bazemore signing? What do you think about Terrence Davis, Kent Bazemore, how they fit into the rotation? Who would be your ninth man in the rotation, even your 10th man at this point in time? If I had to do 10 for me, it's Fox, Sabonis, Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, Kevin Huerter. That's my starting five as of right now. Then it's Davion Mitchell, Malik Monk, Terrence Davis, Trey Lyles, and Rashawn Holmes. That's my 10 at this point in time. That's my 10. It might change, probably will change a million times between now and training camp or now and the start of next season, but that's my 10. So what are your 10 at this point in time? And tell me why. Let's talk about it. And of course, I appreciate all your support here on the Locked On Kings podcast. One more thing that I wanted to mention, one more thing I wanted to talk about is over the weekend, De'Aaron Fox, I think it was Saturday night, De'Aaron Fox got married, had his wedding. And videos and pictures and things have been coming out from De'Aaron's wedding. Look like an absolute incredible scene. And contrary to, I guess, some people's belief, based off of people thinking for some reason that I don't like De'Aaron Fox, even though I have been critical of Fox, just like I'm critical of everybody on this roster. It looked like he had a phenomenal time. I wish him and his family the absolute best. Very happy for him. I think players who take the time necessary for their personal life is extremely important. And the amount of just people, celebrities that were here at this wedding. I mean, Bam Adebayo and Jason Tatum were at the wedding. They have a history with De'Aaron Fox, significant history. I think I saw in a background of a photo, Monty McNair and his family were there supporting De'Aaron Fox. I believe the Ron Adibes were there supporting De'Aaron Fox. Of course, I think Malik Monk was a groomsman, if I'm not mistaken. So that's really cool to see. And then T-Pain, one of my favorite artists, T-Pain was performing at the wedding, which I thought was pretty rad too. Congratulations. He'll never hear this. He'll never know this, but congratulations, De'Aaron, on your wedding. Congratulations to the Fox family. And I'm glad that he had that special night. Sincerely, my wedding was not nearly that grand, not nearly as extravagant as what the Foxes put on, but my wedding is a day that I wish I could replay over and over again. One of my favorite days of my life, one of the best days of my life. So I hope De'Aaron has the same feelings and his beautiful wife, they have the same feelings based off of their wedding. So congratulations to the Fox family. Happy that they got that wedding going. If you haven't checked out some of the pictures and the videos coming out of that wedding, go look it up, because it looked like one hell of a fun time. And want to make sure I touched on that here before I wrap up. But thank you so much for your support here of the Locked On Kings podcast. As always, more content coming for you, great guests, interviews, things like that. We're still getting through this this rough, dry, barren time of the offseason, but we'll get through it together. We're one step closer. Every single day, we're one step closer to getting to training camp, and that's when the real fun begins. But like yesterday, as an example, the Kings, they can work their way back into the news cycle every once in a while. And I'm excited. I really am excited that Kent Bazemore is back. Also, selfishly, I'm excited because I know Bazemore is a big golfer. I am as well. Bazemore works hard on his game. And I need his help desperately. Desperately, I need his help because my golf game is, after 3 years of trying really hard, or almost 3 years of trying really hard, it's still in absolute shambles. So, Kent Bazemore, if you're listening, please help me with my golf game. Also, I know Keegan Murray is a really, really good golfer too. Like, he talked a little bit about how golf is one of his hobbies when we met him at his introductory press conference, but apparently he's like really, really good. So I got to learn a thing or two from him as well. But again, really appreciate your support. Can't wait to have you join me on the next episode of Locked On Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.